Welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be tackling a pretty interesting topic. We're looking at the world of biopharmaceutical manufacturing and asking the question, are single-use systems taking over? We've got a ton of research here to dig into, including the 2024 BioPlan Associates report, and it's giving us a pretty fascinating picture of where things are headed.
Yeah, it really is. And when we talk about single-use systems, or SUS, as they're often called, we're talking about everything from bioreactors and filters to even those bags and tubes that you see all over a lab. But the key here is they're designed to be used once and then you toss them.
Okay, I can already hear some people out there thinking, wait a minute, disposables and biopharma, isn't that a sustainability nightmare? Well, hold on, folks, because that's just one piece of the puzzle. What's really interesting to me is how these SUS are impacting everything from cost and efficiency to the very structure of the whole industry.
You've hit the nail on the head there. If we look at the rise of contract development and manufacturing organizations, you know those CDMOs we hear so much about, we see they're a big reason SUS is taking off. Think about it this way. A startup wants to develop a really groundbreaking therapy, but building a traditional stainless steel facility. Well, that can set you back like $50 to $100 million easily.
Oh, wow. That's a steep entry fee for sure. So you're saying SUS can help even the playing field a bit, make it more affordable for smaller companies to, you know, get in the game.
Exactly. CDMOs love SUS because they're super flexible. They can adapt their facilities really quickly to produce a ton of different products for different clients. You just couldn't do that with those fixed stainless steel systems. It's like having a manufacturing space that's constantly evolving.
That's amazing. So more flexibility, potentially lower costs.
Yeah.
There's got to be a catch, right? The report doesn't make it seem like SUS is a perfect solution, does it?
Of course not. There are definitely challenges. Some are even, well, pretty significant. Like early SUS had some real issues with materials. Specifically, people were worried about stuff leaching into the final product, which could be a big problem impacting quality and safety.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, if you're making life-saving therapies, even the tiniest bit of contamination could be, well, disastrous.
Absolutely. But it's important to remember that the industry's been working really hard to tackle these concerns. We've seen huge advances in material science, which have led to SUS components that are much more robust and inert. But this leads us right into another big challenge highlighted in the report, sustainability.
Right. We can't just ignore the elephant in the room.
Right.
Right. Or the mountain of disposable bioreactor bags ending up in a landfill or whatever the right analogy is.
Precisely. And the report really hits on this tension. On one hand, you have SUS being praised for being cost-effective in the long run because they don't need as much cleaning and validation. But on the other hand, you have that upfront cost of the consumables and the environmental impact of, well, just throwing everything away. Those are still big concerns.
That's like that classic dilemma, right? Weighing the benefits against the potential downsides.
Yeah.
But before we jump into the whole sustainability debate, I'm curious about how widely SUS is being used. Are we really talking about more than just bags and tubing here?
Oh, it goes way beyond that. SUS is being used all over the biomanufacturing process, from upstream stuff like cell culture to downstream purification steps. We're talking single-use bioreactors, mixing systems, filters, chromatography devices, you name it.
Wow, so it really is a full-on SUS takeover. What's driving this huge adoption then? Is it just the cost, or are there other things going on here?
Cost is a big factor for sure, but it's not the whole story. This 2024 BioPlan Associates report actually breaks down the numbers for how often different SUS components are being used. And what's really interesting is that some components, like bioreactors, are being adopted way faster than others.
Huh. Interesting. What's so special about bioreactors then? Why are they, like, leading the SUS charge?
Well, imagine your traditional stainless steel bioreactor. They need a ton of cleaning and validation between every single batch to prevent contamination. This whole process takes forever and uses up a ton of resources and just adds to the overall cost. Now imagine a bioreactor that you can use once and just chuck it out.
Okay, yeah. I see where you're going with this. You get rid of all that cleaning and validation, which must speed up production like crazy and slash costs, right? But wouldn't that make those upfront consumable costs even more of a problem?
You'd think so, right? But there's another really interesting trend the report talks about. China is becoming like the global leader in SUS adoption. They're actually ahead of the U.S. in using single-use systems for commercial production, which is kind of wild.
Wow, that is surprising. What's going on over there that's making them adopt SUS so fast?
Well, that's what we're going to dig into next. It's fascinating to see how differently regions are approaching this transition.
Right, we were just talking about China's remarkable embrace of SUS, even surpassing the U.S. and using them for commercial production. It's a real shift in the global landscape.
Absolutely. Now, part of their swift adoption can be attributed to a newer biopharma industry with less reliance on those massive stainless steel setups. It's like they skipped a step, going straight to a more agile and adaptable model.
It's almost like building a house. Easier to incorporate the latest technology when you're starting from scratch, rather than trying to retrofit an older one.
That's a great analogy. And it's not just about the infrastructure itself. The report suggests that China's regulatory environment may be more conducive to SUS adoption, making it easier for companies to integrate these systems into their operations.
So a combination of factors is creating this SUS surge in China. It begs the question, could their experience offer valuable lessons for other countries navigating this transition?
It's certainly worth considering. But let's shift gears a bit and address another key aspect highlighted in the report: the cost factor. While SUS are often touted as cost-effective in the long run, those upfront expenses for disposables can feel daunting.
Right, it's a tension the report doesn't shy away from. How are companies weighing those long-term savings against the immediate costs?
It's a strategic calculation. One industry expert quoted in the report put it this way: "By now, most everyone assumes or knows that single-use systems can provide cost savings compared to fixed stainless steel systems. But obviously, many still perceive the cost of single-use equipment as high."
So even with evidence suggesting potential savings, that perception of high initial cost remains a hurdle. Are there other concerns companies are grappling with aside from cost?
There are. The report also delves into vendor satisfaction, which reveals a nuanced picture. While companies generally applaud the quality of SUS products, there are lingering concerns.
Okay, what kind of concerns are we talking about?
Cost, unsurprisingly, continues to be a sticking point. But there's another somewhat unexpected issue causing frustration: delivery times.
That's interesting. You'd think with disposable equipment, things would move more swiftly.
You'd assume so, right? But the report highlights some telling discrepancies. When asked about the importance of quality of product, 85.6% of respondents rated it as very important, and 81.4% expressed satisfaction with what they were getting. That's a relatively small gap.
So high marks for quality, that's good news. But you said there were discrepancies.
Right. When asked about the importance of deliver on schedule, a whopping 83.2% of respondents said it was very important. However, only 51.3% were actually satisfied with the vendor's performance in this area. That's a significant gap, and it suggests that delivery times are a real pain point for many companies.
It sounds like there's room for improvement on the vendor side. But let's zoom out for a moment and consider the bigger picture. If single-use systems are truly revolutionizing biopharma, what does this mean for the future of the industry?
That's a question worth pondering. If we connect this to the larger trends, I think we'll see a more dynamic and competitive market. SUS allows smaller companies to compete, which could lead to greater innovation and potentially more affordable therapies.
It's like SUS are democratizing biopharma, giving more players a seat at the table.
Precisely. But this brings us back to the sustainability question. As SUS adoption grows, so too does the responsibility to address its environmental impact. The report emphasizes the need for more effective recycling programs and the development of even more eco-friendly materials.
It's not just about the technology itself, but how it's used and managed in a way that's both innovative and responsible. Which brings us to the crucial question: how do we balance this incredible potential with the very real environmental concerns?
That's what we'll explore as we dive into the sustainability aspects of this single-use revolution.
So let's talk about this sustainability piece of the puzzle. And we can't just ignore the fact that all these disposables, well, they have to go somewhere, right?
You're absolutely right. And the report really digs into this. It shows a pretty big gap between what companies say they want to do and what's actually happening out there.
Okay, so like a disconnect between intentions and reality.
Yeah, pretty much. A whopping 89% of people who responded to their survey said they wanted some kind of recycling program for these single-use systems, but the truth is most of this stuff just gets burned up or tossed in a landfill.
Oh, wow. That's pretty disheartening. So what's the holdup then? Why aren't we seeing more progress on this front?
It's complicated. Cost is definitely a big factor. Setting up a social recycling system just for these biopharma materials, that takes a lot of money and resources. And then you've got the whole contamination issue. These aren't your average plastic bottles, right? They've been used with sensitive biological stuff, so recycling them is a whole other ballgame.
Yeah, I could see how that would be tricky. So it's not as easy as just, tossing a bioreactor bag in the recycling bin at home.
Nope. Not even close. And to make things even more complicated, there aren't any really clear rules or standards for how to recycle SUS. So companies are kind of hesitant to invest in it without knowing exactly what they're supposed to be doing.
So it's like a catch-22, right? Companies don't want to jump in without clear guidelines, but those guidelines might not come until more companies start doing it.
Exactly. And this leads to a really important question. How can we move towards a way of using SUS that's actually sustainable in the long run? Especially since, as we've talked about, these single-use systems are becoming more and more popular, and they're not going away anytime soon.
Right. SUS has too many advantages to just abandon them completely. So I guess the question is, how do we make them work without trashing the planet in the process?
Yeah, that's the challenge, isn't it? And it's not just an industry problem. This affects everyone, even you listening right now.
That's right. As patients, or just people who might need these therapies someday, we're all invested in this. SUS could lead to faster, cheaper production of these life-saving drugs, which is great. But those savings shouldn't come at the cost of the environment.
I completely agree. It's all about finding that right balance between innovation and responsibility.
Well said. And I think that leads us perfectly into our final takeaway for today's deep dive. As single-use systems become even more widespread, how can we, as an industry and as a society, make sure they're being used in a way that benefits both human health and the health of our planet? It's something we all need to think about, whether we're scientists, policymakers, or just concerned citizens.
It's a big question, but it's an important one.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We hope this has given you a lot to think about. Until next time, keep learning and keep questioning everything.